Romans 5th chapter. Now, Paul kind of paused between chapters 3 and 4 in the beginning. Of chapter 4, he did a little bit of teaching, and I call it a side teaching on victory and afflictions and tribulation. It was almost like he just broke out and just couldn't help but write this part in. He says that not only do we glory in our position he's given us in Christ, he says, but we also glory in tribulation when that position is challenged. Then he goes through a process that entering into a testing and trial, if you'll immediately position yourself in the place of freedom that Christ has put you and avidly worship and glorify God from that position. And you do that in the beginning of every trial or affliction. And it'll start a process that you'll walk out the other end of it with the kind of hope that makes not ashamed. So he just like he couldn't stand all this victory we had in. And so he just injected this little bitty teaching in on this process, how you're supposed to treat any testing or trial or affliction right at the entry level of it. See how he words this here then, beginning again with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And word therefore, meaning based on what he's already said, leading up to this chapter, he just couldn't help bust into this little truth. He said, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, not only do we rejoice and glorify God in the hope we have in Him, but we glory also in tribulations, not for them, but in the midst of them. What we're glorifying Him for is the position He has positioned us in the Father through grace and His blood. I find some kind of disease trying to take me over. I know what confession does. I know the power of it. I know all those things. But this part I'm loving to add truth, giving Him glory and praise and honor and magnifying Him for His grace and His blood, that I'm free and worship Him out of that place until I have victory. Well, anybody, if you'll treat all tribulation and affliction like that at entry level, then this is how you're going to come out the other side. He says, by whom also, in the second verse again, we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing this, knowing that tribulation, it employs patience. When you're doing the right thing in the tribulation, that's worshiping vehemently, violently, with a vengeance, positioning in yourself in the place where Jesus calls you free. Well, if you know what we could run ahead on worship teaching, if you can walk the floor and just confess, and that's great. You get it. But when you add this, it's going to speed the process up, because you cannot fellowship with God out of your new nature that He won't take care of those little emotional problems that you have. I think I'm going to die. No, you're not. Position yourself. Keep worshiping, because eventually He's going to minister to your emotion even. It's incredible what He will do. So in the middle of this tribulation, because I'm doing the right thing, tribulation employs patience. I got what I need to wait this thing out to victory. Hallelujah, Jesus. We glory in tribulation, also knowing tribulation employs patience. Ooh, and then patience says, hey, hey, I'm going to employ the kind of experience that causes me to work that kind of word, that causes me to end up with that kind of freedom. He says, for milk is unskillful in a word of right standing. But strong meat belongs to those who by reason of use of what? The strong meat have their senses exercised to discern between good and evil. That I'm bringing my senses under subjection to what the Word says, and that's being helped by vehement, violent, no hesitation, worship for the position I've been proclaimed in Christ. Woo, does that help bring your senses under ascendancy and subjection to Him that said, you are healed? Well, I got too much pain. You can do like some people do. Getting out of the pain isn't going to help you much unless you're doing something about the permanent problem. Now, an action in the natural does not necessarily produce a reaction in the spiritual. But an action in the spiritual will, and without fail, always cause a reaction in the natural. You know? Hallelujah. So somebody says, should I go to a doctor? If you ask me that, I'll put you in the car. You're not ready for the fight. But once it gets you out of pain, well, don't you learn what to do? Because that action in the natural is not going to affect what's going to happen in the spiritual. If you start a reaction in the spiritual, without fail and always, it's going to trickle down and have a reaction in the natural. Hallelujah. What are you trying to say? How about there's nowhere that you would be forced to give up and fail? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Not only do I not have quitting sense, I'm forgetting how to quit. Because an action in the spiritual will always cause a reaction in the natural. But an action in the natural doesn't necessarily affect a reaction in the spiritual. I'm so weak I had to go to a doctor. File it as a natural reaction that won't have the final say so. Hallelujah. So then, doing the right thing in tribulation employs patience. And then patience goes out and says, hey, I got time to employ experience. And because I did the right thing in the beginning, and look what experience does. Experience and experience in the fourth verse employs hope. But now here's the difference in this kind of hope. Doing the right thing when you enter into the test and trial in the beginning. This is the kind of hope that experience employs. It isn't the kind that says, well, there's a good person. And only, you're speaking at their funeral. It's not the kind of hope it employs. You know,
I'm hoping God will do something.
He probably won't. It's the wrong kind of hope. It's not the kind you need to employ. See, the kind of hope that experience employs is the kind he's talking about in Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of the thing I'm hoping for. And it's all the evidence I need of the thing that I cannot yet see. Now, faith is the substance of the thing I'm hoping for. So if I'm hoping for this, then my faith is the substance of this until I get this. Because I don't need this, I don't have this, then my faith is all the evidence. Big old magnifying glass looking for it. Can you see it yet? No. But it's still all the evidence I need of the thing I can't see. Now, if my faith is the substance before I have it of the thing I'm hoping for, then fortunately, faith only comes one way. And it's by hearing, and hearing by my own personal opinion. It comes by hearing, and hearing by my own personal experiences. It comes from hearing, and hearing by my own personal successes. From my own personal failures. Well, faith comes by what then? Hearing, and hearing by? Ooh, then the hope that I have in receiving this had better be based on His Word. You think you're going to get it?
No, I hope so.
You're not. You think you're going to get it? No, I don't think. I know. Well, how can you make a bold statement like that? Because I have the substance of it already living in here. And in the beginning of the test, I did the right thing. I positioned myself in the Father in a place of grace and blood that Jesus procured that says it's finished and it's mine and I won't detour. Nothing will change me. And I'll violently, vehemently in the face of the devil and the Pharaoh and the Red Sea and everything else and worship Him violently proclaiming that this is done and I am who He said that I am. Now, my faith is the substance of the thing I'm hoping for. It's all the evidence of the thing I do not yet see. That's why that He declared this hope then. This hope makes what? The fifth verse, and hope maketh not ashamed.
Well, why not?
Because of this violent worship that you're doing, this vehement, unhesitant, in the face of the devil, your friends, and your enemies. This kind of hope that makes not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And I'll tell you, through that private worship, vehemently and violently proclaiming the position through His Word that you are in Him, not only saying it, but fellowshipping with Him around it, glorifying, worshiping, loving on Him, getting to know Him, it'll explode. All of a sudden, the love of God will come flooding in on you and wash into those senses and the baptism, positioning you, making you not ashamed because He has picked you up. Shed His love abroad in your heart, caused you to receive this thing that you have from Him. Hallelujah. Gee, it'd make a guy want to stop and worship God the next 40 minutes. Call it church. What'd I get done in 40 minutes? You might not get a whole lot done. But what it might do, establish enough in you whether you're going to take another 40 minutes, then you're going to go get another. And pretty soon you're going to say, hey, this is better than nighttime TV. Somebody was really going through a trial the other day, and I said, how are things? They say, this really great. And I said, really? Because I knew what they were going. Oh, man, things are great. I said, what do you base that on? And they said, I'm not in hell, am I? I haven't missed everything and ended up in hell. I'm not in hell, so it's great. It's great out here. Boy, I love optimistic look. I mean, I just love people that stand on the bow of the ship. There's a whole fleet in front of you, and all their cannons are pointing at your ship, and they say, do you surrender? And yet you say, I have just begun to fight. You know? Hallelujah. I've just begun to fight. I just love people like that. Do you know most millionaires lost it a couple of times before they kept it? I'd rather be a wet water walker than a dry boat setter. Hallelujah. You got enough. I mean, what do you got? You had a whole lifetime to recover from the last time. Go back and do it again. Worst thing you can do is just sit there and get passive. Imagine that, a child of God sitting there passive. I don't think so. Woo! Chandorabakesat. Drekalistobromaka. Tisileto. Womati illiborantis kiri. Discatubata sia blema. Mehistuli eskoi edendia. Naskehese. For he edifies and continues to edify. This is on his part, interpretation. He loves the interaction to where he gets to flow spontaneously, interact with you, speak his mind, flow and bless and heal. This is all part of the edification process. This is all part of church. He loves, he said, in Kistum interpretation, he loves the distola mehuski here, able through the gifts and the word to interact with you to where he can step in any time and do what his word says. Hallelujah, Jesus. And he particularly loves it when you spontaneously fellowship with him, because in your estimation, he's so good, you just have trouble not doing it. Hallelujah. Oh, but I like that. I like that. I don't think I can hold back on that one. Glory! Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Guys, did you feel like victory looking for a place to manifest? You're still back here, say. Do you look like a trial that a door is opening out of it? But there's no way I can get out of it. Oh, that just shows you how much you know God. Hallelujah. Do you feel like a trial that a door is opening up out of? Do you feel like hope that's about to have a shedding abroad take place in it? Do you feel like God has the ability to come? And I mean, you go to bed one night and wake up the next day to a whole another world. Can he do that? Yes, he carries a title. God. Hallelujah. He carries a title. God.
Well, Brother Robertson, I'd like to develop my faith, you know, to where...
Well, you know, God came on us for a whole service and said, choose your battleground. How many remembers that? God. He says, what do you want? Do you want to choose your own battleground, or do you want it to be chosen for you? Of course, being the Einstein type, I said, I prefer to choose my own. Well, I only related to Einstein as he didn't have enough brain power after equations and atoms and things to know what to put on. So he had all the same colored suits and he wouldn't have to make a decision. So just get the next one that wasn't sweated on. So you just go down the line. Didn't have to make the decision. I'd rather choose my own battleground. But how do you do that? When the devil's keeping you defeated by keeping you out of your doing the right thing in the beginning of the process. When do I choose my own battleground? When the devil's successful through emotion and circumstances and ugliness staring you in the face. To where you just... You choose your own battleground. You say, devil, I know it's you. And this is where we're fighting, because you're keeping me out of growing past all this. And I'm choosing my own battleground because I'm telling you that I'm not going to wait till you take something from me to try to fight to hold on to it. Mm-mm. I choose right now. You know, I got the football. I'm heading for prayer. You try to take it. So you want to try to stop me again, devil? Feel free. They can turn the lights out on the stadium. Everybody go home. And I'll follow you home into the storage bin. And I'll get the football back out. And I'll go back out to the field and then run. But the thing I won't do is quit. Where does faith come in? Faith comes in when you know. And you know it, you'll run it into prayer with that football, that there's a goal in front of you. You know there's a goal. This is not running into empty air. This is not running where there's no victory. This is not the run that fights the air. This is not emptiness. This is not no results. Faith, this is where you have faith. Every step you take, every time you fight your way back past your emotions, get past them and worship Him and thank Him and position yourself. Know this inside, that a payday is coming. Know it. Know it. Hallelujah. What if I can't go on? What if I can't go on? Hallelujah. Huh? What if I get so excited I can't stand?
Hallelujah.
So good I got. I made too many touchdowns. So the kihiski here. You know, it's nice when the war comes to the place where you're always celebrating. Well, aren't you supposed to be fighting? Well, I don't know. I'm celebrating. What for? For a victory I can't see, but I know. You're just going to have to help me again, for crying out loud. I don't mean to make yo-yos out of you. Just get us a hallelujah! Glory, Jesus! Glory! Hallelujah! 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 Jesus! Who just shall go? Hallelujah, Jesus. See, you've got to know this in that last part where he says, the love of God is shed abroad. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. There's a supernatural infusion of his joy. It'll come. It'll come when all the Spirit and all that wants to testify says, for you, this is over. Now, I have been teaching for some time about a supernatural pleasure I was feeling from the Father. And sometimes I know I'll cover a point. And I can tell that when things drop off of people and they didn't attain to them, then sometimes I feel like I don't do my job. You know. But I start feeling a supernatural pleasure from the Father and knowing what God is. He is love. And any manifestation that comes Him towards me, that I know that it's something He's always had for me, which was His love. And I'm just coming to new levels of receiving. No, it's always been there. He establishes that fact before he gets back into the heavy meat in this chapter. But I start feeling his pleasure, and I know that's a manifestation of his love. He was so pleased with me, and it wasn't at that point where my life was winning battles or where I was established in the pending victory or anything like that. He was so pleased with me because a recent turn that had been taken in my heart. And you've heard this. That got the blame off of God to the degree that he said to me, like Job's comforters, there's been things said about me that are not true. And my heart actually attained to a position to quit accusing him. And of all the things, being born again and filled and faith and all the things I learned, it seemed like all doctrine was heading towards that point. And never had my feelings come to a place in response to the Spirit that I felt something that I could only define as His pleasure. Well, once again, it came from getting the blame off of Him to the degree that my heart stopped accusing. And you know that He used the most drastic of examples on me, like the child they asked, this man born blind, whose fault was it, his or his parents? Jesus said, neither. He's the product of a fallen race. Only chance a child has is in the hands of strong believers before birth. There's nothing equal about the first birth in the world that there is in the second. Boy, He covers that here. There's equal the second birth, and you become a citizen of the kingdom. Have all the rights. You're born equal with every other child of God in the second birth. But once again, it depends on what you do with what you received. So this child, he says it was neither. He said, but if I'm going to work the works of Him that sent me, I must work them while it's day. That's why I'm here with the light of God. And then he stepped in and worked His works. And He opened the blind man's eyes. See? So He says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it's day. Because there's a long night coming when nobody will ever work again. Well, this is my chance. This is yours. But he said, neither. So then we know when the child's born blind, it's because they're the victim of a fallen race. The curse showed up. I mean, spiritual death is the separation from God. There's a whole lot of things in that that's not going to show up at convenient times. There's a whole lot. Well, they said neither. And if that's the case, then that child is not keeping himself blind. Well, I don't know how many blind children I've held in my arms. White eyes to no eyes. In the history of all those first 15 years, 12 years, I had testimonies get back and overseas, things like that, but I've never held a baby and watched his eyes swirl. Turn from white to pupil. Well, I prayed for a dog the other day, and when the lumps didn't instantly disappear, I wanted to blame the dog. But I couldn't very well because the dog didn't have any faith. Yet, any animals under my jurisdiction have my blessing. He says so. I certainly can't blame it on the child. So when this pleasure time come, God cornered me and says, okay, your biggest lesson on religion ever is if I don't heal this child when you pray, is it because I'm the sovereign God that could but decided not to, wouldn't? Or did I not do it because I couldn't? As it's in a believer's camp, a believer's church, and believers are surrounding it. What are you trying to say? If you don't do it, I mean, your God and everybody in here is hoping they're not against it. Your God. Come on. How deep are we going to go in this thing? He said, how much do you want? I want revival. We're in believers' camps. You
you have to know something's wrong when we teach the whole world faith from Tulsa. All the blind kids go to church and come home every day until they grow up. And we're, something's missing. But prosperity works. Can you see where the love of money aborted the kids or not? Can you or not? You say, I don't want to live under that kind of condemnation. You don't have to. You know, that sometimes we have to kind of make adjustments inside and put the part that we wonder about God. We have to file it somewhere to where some things belong to God and some things belong to men. And we'll file this one as this is not something that belongs to you. God works in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He has a reason for everything that he does. And that way we can keep our sanity while we operate on some level sojourning through this life, not having to explain the lack of God moving, nor able to answer many sinners' questions when they probe a little bit past Sunday's message. Hallelujah. Cornis gracia. I will. I will. He wanted me to interpret this truth again. Recently, there's a renowned man of God. He went home. To me, he went home early. He was young. He's in his 70s. How many agree with me? Well, the man had some organs shut down, and they did everything medically, and they searched, and they continued to shut down, and it was a second major attack on his body. The first one was heart, and the second vital organ shut down and terminated him. And he's always known that great man of God. We all revered him. And as I said last week or week before, he had checks this deep. They went to missionaries. Just piled on his list, signing away. Great work. And when he died, we all felt the loss. But this man, he did a glorious work. And then he stepped out of his body and went home. And when I was celebrating and everything, the Lord says, you want the teaching on it? I said, yes, sir. He said, my will for you and everybody else, is that you live in peace and under authority and peace, and as I say to pray for. He said, you're supposed to gather your kids and your great grandkids and the great grandkids. You're supposed to gather them around you and say, I'm about to take another step into my journey, but don't be afraid, kids. Let me put some confidence in you. This is a glorious time for me. Soon, I'm going to get to see Jesus. And I just want you to know that this is all waiting for you. What a glorious time. And gather them around and instill peace and the love of God into them. Not on a morphine drip, not screaming from pain, not visiting you for months in a coma. Hallelujah. That's His will. Not everybody attains to it, but it doesn't change it. If He didn't have a 30, which is a 1 to 30, born again to 30, 30 to 60, and then the last 40, which is 61 all the way to 99.9. You walk in there anywhere, and He says, oh, I got trash burning systems even after you get there. You'll come in, we'll burn trash, and you'll be saved as a by fire, but you'll be in. Thank God there wouldn't be anybody in heaven, hardly. But if a few would break through into the last 40%, there'd be a whole lot more in heaven. Wouldn't you agree? Doesn't change what the Word of God says. That is His will. Well, this man, you know, he went home and God said, you want the teaching on it? I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, this is what I want to teach you on what's being aborted, sir, I said. I was driving. You know, he picks most unusual times, like he walks up in the spirit and goes, excuse me, and you're driving over ice. Like he can't see into your world or something. He said, concerning money, he said, this man was a great man. A lot of people know Christ because of him. He said, now let's reverse this. He said, what was said over him going home from sickness? I said, nothing. Nothing. You believe in healing? I said, oh, yes. Yes, several of the members of the family had received healing. He says, what was the... He says, not concerning money. He says, this teaching, he says. He says, there's a lot of people are saved and everything because of it. He said, what was said about him dying of a disease? I said, nothing. What would have been said if he owed everybody in the country? Ended up filing bankruptcy. Was put on public display and all the sinners got to see God fail. Now, every believer he dealt with, he owed everyone. He died with that stigma attached to his name. Would he be as great a man then? I said, no. Not in the sinner's eyes, not in the believer's eyes. Didn't I heal him just as much as I separated inheritance? Did I not heal the man? I said, yes. He says, well, then why wasn't anything said about that? I says, because nobody regarded it. But they do regard the money part. He said, see, son, he says, if they would come after me with the same audacity and my miracle-working power and all that I am, the kids would quit taking the round trips to church and back sick. But they don't. He says, but they do go after me with the same audacity. I mean, they do for the money. And not all time Modi's bad or that, just knowing they can't fail in that area. But he says, that's where the faith is. It dies right there. Nobody comes in after it. Nobody even finds out. Everybody will excuse it. If it's not taking place, they'll always preach there's a reason for it. And the reasons are always, it's something to do with His sovereignty. If God comes, no man will get the glory for it. And He'll start healing, He'll start doing something. But it's an on-purpose place that can be attained as powerfully as any other place. No. No. He said, that's why there was no noise about the one. He said, but there would have been tremendous noise about the other. So this is why it pleased him so much. When finally, after years and years and breaking into worship, years and years. And he started shedding the love of God abroad in my heart. I started edifying and building myself above certain sensual dominated levels I used to live under. One of them, as my heart began to break free of those kind of accusations, and I was willing to face the music to understand why, when I'd hold a baby and everybody is waiting with bated breath, including me, to see if God would open his eyes. He said, "Now what say you? Did I not do it because I'm God and I'm sovereign? I could have did it if I wanted to. But I didn't. For some reason. You probably never find it out. Oh, but it's not you. After all, it's a baby and I'm God. I could heal it if I wanted. It's not you." Or did he not heal the baby? Because he could not. I was close. So I stepped on out there. My heart was stopping, accusing him. It was stopping. My mouth had stopped years ago, but my heart was turning. I took the step. If you didn't heal the baby, it's because you couldn't. But I'm God. I said, "You still couldn't do it." He said, "That's right." He said, "And the reason I couldn't is I couldn't find enough in you to do it with. That hurts. Ultimately, your heart is like the other people. Sells out on this lamb and sells out on this one. This one's been so watered. Everybody lets it go. It omits you." He said, "If I didn't, it's because I couldn't. And if I couldn't, it's because I couldn't find enough to do it with." I said, "That wouldn't be in me, wouldn't it?" He said, "Yes. But you getting the blame off of me is your first steps out of it." He started using cloths right after that. Even wireless phones. People got healed even with no wire to go down. For a scientist, is that possible? He brought his healing power to a whole nother level. Chokesi. And guess where the next level is? Guess where the next level's pending? God's been talking a lot about it in prophecy. Yes. You in religion always try to coax darkness into where you hold your little candle vigils where light is. And I want you to take my light out where darkness is. And I'll meet you where the curse is manifesting in humanity, in deaf, mute, insane, children's hospitals. I'll meet you everywhere at the cross in these places, son. And I'll manifest myself right in the midst of the chaos where people are looking for answers. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm finishing this up so we can get past the warm-up one more time. He goes on to say, sixth verse, now he's going to give you the reasons God will do all this. Shed it abroad in your heart because of this stand you took at the beginning of affliction. But look how he goes up and then he drops back into meat with the 12th verse again. But look how he sneaks up on the 12th piece of meat there where you get your hacksaw out and start sawing it off again. In the sixth verse, when you were without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, like war or cause or protection of family, or peradventure for a good man, some will even dare to die. But God, he commendeth his love towards us in that while you were yet sinners, he paid this whole price. Christ died for us. Much more than, using this as a comparison, much more than being now justified by his blood,
if he did all this and commended all that love when you were yet a sinner. But how about now, the opposite, when you've been justified by his blood? How much more are we going to be saved from wrath and everything connected with it through Christ Jesus or by him? For if when you were enemies, then you were yet not saved, with no guarantee you'd be saved. You were totally reconciled to God, waiting, pending your decision to accept it by the death of his son. How much more than being now reconciled, you saved by the same life? And is there an end to what he'll do for you if he already did that much when you were his enemy? God, what do you want? Gold, silverware? I am tremendously saved by his life, and beginning to explore according to this negative, switching to the positive, just how much he'll do for me based on what he already did for me when I was his enemy. I think I'm going to quit resisting his love and just see what he'll do. We're getting ready to saw this piece of meat off. See the 11th verse? And not only so, but we also joy. Back to that first verse, second, third. We joy. Ooh, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. What his pleasure translated out to be, finally, was the joy of the Lord. That's what it was. It was his joy, which is my strength. But you can't. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we've now received the atonement. And he gets back into the meat, which we've been trying to get to. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, just wait till we tell you what he has to say about this. For most don't know this. Galicia. But even as you are, choose not to be moved by what you see or your feelings, but have only accepted what I have said as truth, to hiskelionome, which is to say, you that are matured, have your senses exercised, discern both good and evil, and are able to take your stand on the word regardless of what circumstances say. For even as you nurture your faith and build yourself up in what I have said about your victories, and even in what I have said about your defeats, for there is only one truth, there is only truth, Lekiacho. And this truth, Le Akiski demandu, Sokrakilis, for it is the standard by which I measure all things. For truth is truth in that it has the power within itself to be truth, and it stands alone. For he that finds my truth has found the rock that's immovable. And he that does my sayings will not be moved. And as you give yourself to truth, for know this, most are defeated on the line of their emotions.
And most are overturned by the longevity of the hopeless states they exist in. For an amount of time, and there's no change, discouragement comes. Emotions grow strong and rise up to claim what is theirs. For the reason there is such a great revival amongst the drug culture is because it is a dealing with emotion. Hear what the Spirit would say. Lehoski, Torako eskudi mahoti. For would I leave you in a fight to go from where your faith does not believe to where your faith does, based on my word, that you emerge victorious over your emotion and over circumstances and receiving it into your heart that it is done? Why wouldn't I give you keys along the way? Why wouldn't I give you a hand up along the way? The pathway to the answer to your prayer is just as powerful and final and settled as the answer and the miracle itself. And for you that learn to put one foot in front of the other and walk in the path I've laid for you to the miracle, finds out that I have dealt with the emotion along the way and am part of your strength in emotion even before you see the manifestation of that which you are believing for. For there's many fight a long battle. Most, the emotion, the onslaught, and the weapons of the enemy, those kind of strongholds that are systems of thoughts empowered by emotion, most of those fall short of my greater miracles. For I have separation for all of you to me. It does not matter your calling in the body. I've gave all of you access to the same amount of what I am and who I am. My victory is yours. And when my victory is yours in your emotion, and peace becomes the order of your day, persecution will be nothing to you. Persecution for my name's sake will be nothing to you. You'll hasten towards it. For the persecution for my name's sake is not bearing the kind of burden and the grief that pulls you down of uncertainty and defeat, even the kind that makes you sick and causes your body to even fail. No, no, no. If there is a standing up under persecution that I ask you to do, but my peace is in that. For my journey out of the things of the world to the rock that cannot be moved is also a journey of strength and victory against the things that I'll ask you to do. For with great victories, many times there's great price. But the great prices can be paid very easily when your emotions and life is sustained on the rock that cannot be moved. For I've waited long, and I've looked over here for line upon line and precept upon precept, and I looked forward for here a little, there a little, I even looked to the past and took my grace and attempted to pick many up and put them on the rock that I might teach them more. And all my desire was for a journey from glory to glory into my image. Etume lorekiske. For it's brought me great pleasure. Gedimase. Dilemo eskidibaleti. You'll have to help me. Ium kubeskilato. Linshiu. O kemato se. Tureki. Nasi. Ole cento così. Okay. For in this time of the operation of my body, for many is scheduled to go home and have went home in this decade, and still more will go. For many contributed greatly to the foundation that you now stand and walk upon. And in this foundation was my desire. And oh, I looked over here for a little and there a little, line upon line, for it was my desire to instill that in you upon that foundation they've left behind by my grace. Those things which would shorten the journey from a place where the destructions of reasonings and powered by emotion and all sorts of strongholds would be pulled down in those areas that most are experiencing defeat before the great victory begin in their lives. For this walk of my glory that I'm introducing on this foundation. And it has pleasured me. We had to back me up and all that to say this. For it has pleasured me to find some things in you that brings me great pleasure. For many of you have not understood the weapon that has formed in you. And because there's not too many wielding this weapon that's been forged in flames of my fire, that many have been turned back. But for you that'll accept the grace of this, I have shortened the journey that it took many to walk. And even as they neared the end of their lives, they made their final contributions, but even at that was on the line of not accomplishing all that I gave them to do. But it's pleasured me to find some things in you that if you'll walk them out, you'll not be turned back. And indeed, you'll wield that weapon which is forged in my fires. And you make a short journey out of the emotions into the stability of my rock. For which is it and what is it that you desire? Do you desire the long fight that even for duration, many still received not what they needed, but were war thin and fainted? Deske. Or would you rather the fight be intensified but highly shortened, that you might emerge on the other side victorious? For hear what the Spirit would say. For in the path to the rock along the way, I extend my hand for those who once this sword of the shortened battles. I like this. I like this. Whew. Kiss him, man. Holy gentle. Tokalo mal. Shoheski is a. Who is too bad? Tolakin is a. Hoshkedasa. What do you want? Can you believe this? He took all the last Sunday away from me. And in both services, I took a whole service to prophesy about how you should not let an emotional onslaught turn you from fellowshipping with him. How many remembers that? Did I word it exactly like that? It went something like, when you first get into the kind of worship where there's a fellowship between your nature and his, the devil gets real worried and comes and makes you think that somebody brought his mountain to you and put it on you. Do you remember now that I prophesied so hard about that the worse the battle gets, that the more powerful the fellowship is being received in heaven, because when the devil got out his biggest guns and he couldn't shorten what you were doing, he couldn't shorten. He whisked us. Pray for me. For he prophesies in proportion to faith, and this thing's coming so far from inside. I got to pull it out. It's in proportion to the faith that's given me. I've got to pull it out. Hang on. He's trying to give us a hand up to shorten some of our battles. Help me. Help me, Liz. So, okay. Okay. There is few things that you can do. They'll excite the devil and cause him to organize his forces against you than the worry that you cause him from fellowshipping one on one with your Father through your new nature. It causes him to be able to magnify his love for you, in you, and begin to pour himself out in you in a residency of his presence. So much so that filling you up in your spirit will cause such a baptism of your senses in the glory and power that your emotions will not only be sustained but forced back, and the word will take the place that they held in your emotions, causing you to be released, because the war that used to win over you will begin to lose, because it couldn't win in your worship closet for a shorter period. It wanted to win in a longer period when you wasn't able to deal with your emotions. I thought you were done. For joined together with my word. This is the part that many do not understand. As you'll speak in my word, this is why I said, ministering to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God and the Father. For many of you do not understand, as you're ministering to me and worshiping and handling my word in the lips of worship, and spending those times in my presence as I'm able to pour my love into the reservoir, the unlimited capacities of your born-again spirit. That it is the residency of that love that shortens the fight. Because what many do not understand, that the added ingredient to win over emotions is my love that's being magnified in you, that sustains you and causes you to win. From the missing ingredient is my love moving within you to sustain. For many try without preparing their heart and baptizing themselves in my love and spending time giving thanks for these things to God and the Father. And those who do not spend that time take the long road and are not fully equipped for the battle. Therefore, many, many abort before their time. I find pleasure, saith the Lord, that I have found enough to cause a people. For in times past, some slipped in, didn't know what they found. I was unable to teach, just experience. And some quite by accident, but did not know how to repeat the process. But it pleases me when I can lay this path out and give you instructions to win as finally as the victory I provided. Let me ask you, how many is going to worship God privately a little more than you used to? How many wants a short road? Well, when the battle intensifies, by the time it does, He intensifies in you. That's why you win faster. You're developing a key that has winner spelled on it. Since the key is the same key that gives me help when I yell, I need some help here.
Hallelujah!
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 Woo!
Hallelujah!
I can't stand it. Help me out.
Glory!
Glory! Woo! What would hours of this do? Just magnifying statements of adoration out of the priesthood of your own heart. What would happen? God already is love. He can't love you more. He is. But you can receive more. You can receive more of something that already exists. Ishoma. I know He can't love me anymore. He's not got the deficit. He can't love me more. But I can receive more.
Yes.
Of His love. Le-ko-ma-sa. Well, I found a key that does it on purpose. It does it on purpose. When you can find it, you can find it in Him. What do you want to do? Run all over the country looking at finished products? You want to stop and become one. What do you want to do? Keep running, buying people's books? Or you want books wrote about you? What do you want? Ask it, I said. You are destined for Him.
Yes, right. Hallelujah.
You're destined for Him.